Families today are going through some radical changes, perhaps even yours or someone you know. On a traditional wedding cake, you will see a man and a woman dressed in their finest. But that's changing today. Today we see weddings between two men and two women. We are rapidly moving away from the traditional. Marriages and the families they create are not like they used to be. Today we're talking about the new family, one that allows for the many sexual and moral styles of our time. Is this family really new, and where will it lead our families and our society? The answer will challenge your view. Stay tuned as we discuss the new family on today's edition of Beyond Today.
Join our host, Darris McNeely, and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Many feel that the idea of a family is something that evolved as a social structure over time within the human species. This idea leaves the family at the mercy of shifting social ideas and trends. If a new idea comes along that replaces the traditional family structure, then the new one wins out. All ideas are relative and subject to changing needs and changing times. And so, in today's world, we see the traditional family of a man and a woman coming together in a marriage and raising a family being pushed aside by new ideas of how a family should look. Consider this quote from Peter Drucker in his book, The Post-Capitalist Society. Every few hundred years in Western history, we cross a divide. Within a few short decades, society rearranges itself, its worldview, its basic values, its social and political structures, its key institutions. 50 years later, there is a new world, and the people born then cannot even imagine the world in which their grandparents lived and to which their own parents were born. Many feel these changes are healthy, while others see these changes as having disastrous consequences. With me today to discuss where these new family structures are leading is Dave Myers, a pastor and a youth worker. Dave, it's good to have you with us on the program. What is it that people are looking for when it comes to marriage?
Well, Darris, humans have been designed as social beings. They're designed for community, designed to be together. People want to be together. And what people are looking for in these circumstances when it comes to marriage is a special closeness, a commitment to know that the other person is committed to them. There's a safety and security in that arrangement. And so what's interesting is that people who've come up with new style of families don't throw away the institution of marriage, but they try to change it to be something that it's not.
Marriage is kept around.
Absolutely. They're still looking for that same intimacy. And we're not talking about sexual things alone, but that special closeness that is only really available in marriage.
What is it that they're looking for? Is it in marriage that they can find this deep desire that it seems that people are looking for? Is it only within marriage that it's going to be found?
Well, the interesting thing, Darris, is as we mentioned, even though there are other alternative arrangements that people try, only marriage with one man, one woman for life is the kind of arrangement that really brings about the deep personal satisfaction that only marriage can bring. It was interesting that not long ago my wife was watching a program, and it happened to interview an individual who was living a homosexual lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And as this person came across a family, he made a passing comment, had nothing to do with the show, but his comment was, "I wish I could have a family like that." So family, husband, wife, children, is the bedrock on which everything else in a society really can be built, and it's what fulfills a person.
Do you think that that individual who made that comment perhaps didn't have that in his family from which he came?
Well, I would certainly guess that that's the case. There seems to be many studies and opinions that clearly show that unless one has what we would call a nuclear family or a traditional family, it's very difficult for them to produce a real stable and secure environment.
What I find interesting when we look at the subject and the different types of families that are being created today, other than what can be the traditional family, consider the traditional family, is that they keep coming back to the institution of marriage. And they want to change it. In some cases, people seem to want to just completely destroy it. Mm-hmm. But it's altered. But they still want to come together and be recognized within a union, whether it's legal, civil, however you want to define it. But it is of two people living together as a variant of the traditional marriage. And I wonder, Dave, if that in itself, as you see that still at the centerpiece, doesn't validate the spiritual dimension. There's something spiritual about marriage in itself and in a traditional sense.
So I was going to bring that up, Darius, that there's no question that this shows that human beings have been hardwired, we might say. A part of our psyche is that need to be close to other people and a special intimacy with one other individual. And obviously there are some deviant situations where it's a free-for-all. But in most cases, there is that special closeness, that intimacy that's designed there, and it can only be really fulfilled in a traditional family situation. In fact, without a question, traditional marriage still around the world is by far the dominant situation. One man married to one woman for the rest of their lives.
Well, what changes have taken place within marriage and the family today?
Here in the States, probably the most common alternative situation would be with a man and a woman living together that are not married. They haven't had a religious ceremony. They haven't had a civil ceremony. They don't have the piece of paper that says we're actually married.
Cohabiting without marriage.
Exactly. The sad thing about cohabitation is it's an arrangement with a built-in parachute.
Mm-hmm. There's no commitment.
Exactly. Because there's no commitment, anytime I'm not happy with it, I jump out of the plane, pull the parachute, and go find somebody else. So there's an inherent lack of stability in that kind of relationship and a lack of security.
Is the woman usually hurt in a situation like that most of the times?
I think both are tremendously hurt. But because women tend to be much more sensitive that way, and they're created more as emotional beings, they bear the brunt of it. And oftentimes they're left with children mm-hmm. and having to deal with being single mothers in the situation. Another kind of alternative arrangement, obviously, is a homosexual marriage or a lesbian marriage,
right.
Same-sex marriages.
Same-sex.
And obviously they're becoming the rage, it would seem, in our popular
culture
today.
They get a lot
today.
Of attention in the press.
Exactly. Very, very small percentage of actual marriages are desiring to be married, but they get a lot of press, and I'm sure there's lots of reasons for that aren't the subject of our program here.
You know what gets a lot less press on those situations are the divorces that those marriages have, which are the same as a normal heterosexual marriages.
Exactly. So what we have is two people who, again, are looking for intimacy and closeness, but unfortunately, because of traumatic experiences possibly or some of their background, and we could go into that another time, they're looking in the wrong place for the very thing that a normal marriage, traditional marriage, would supply.
But they're still looking for that something to be, this desire to be fed, to be met, and they keep coming back to marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to see the traditional family survive?
Yes.
Okay.
I think we will. In other words, there's no question that as mores change within culture, it's going to be harder to hang on to that. But in general terms, personally, I believe God will always make sure that there's that picture of His family there in marriage. And as I mentioned earlier, the vast majority of people actually in the world still hold to that same pattern, one man, one woman for life.
Now, when we come back, we'll talk more about this and follow this through. The new family is not something new. In fact, we go back in history and see that other civilizations have gone through these same changes. We'll look at those when we come back. Stay tuned for this message that's going to talk to you about this booklet, Marriage and the Family, the Missing Dimension. We'll be right back.
Happy children and successful marriages don't just happen. They are not just dreams. They really exist for people who know how to build families from the practices you can discover in your free copy of Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension. Read what always works. Call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. Build stability, warmth, and love into all your relationships with this step-by-step guide to the lifestyle of family success. Know the secrets of what to do at each season of your children's development, and the quality and quantity of time it takes to have a marriage blessed for a lifetime. Call 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension.
And we are back to Beyond Today. Today we are discussing the subject of the new family. We are offering a piece of literature entitled Marriage and the Family, The Missing Dimension. This is a very important piece of literature that will take you through a number of topics dealing with the family, your marriage, child rearing, dating, and a number of topics that pertain to today's family and helping you to understand exactly what is the missing spiritual dimension needed in a successful and happy family. History teaches us the root of every culture is the family. It's the foundation for civilization. When the traditional family is altered beyond repair, it begins to deteriorate and crumble. And the classic example of this is the ancient Roman Empire. One historian wrote about that. He said, first, at the bottom of Roman society and forming its ultimate unit was the family. The most important feature or element of this family group was the authority of the father. It would be difficult to overestimate the influence of this group upon the history and destiny of Rome. It was the cradle of at least some of the most splendid virtues in the early Romans that contributed so much to the strength and greatness of Rome and that helped to give her dominion of the world. Now, history also shows us the early Roman Republic was built on this strong foundation of a home life where the roles of a father, mother, and children were respected and nurtured. A woman could have no higher praise within this world than to manage her house well and give herself to selfless devotion to her children. But things changed in the later Republic. Changes rapidly took place in the social life of Rome. Money poured in from conquered nations, incomes rose, and the pursuit of more wealth and the accompanying lifestyle began to erode the upper classes. A new morality entered the ancient Roman society. The commitment to marriage changed. There was increased divorce. The morality of both sexes grew lax and careless, and by the time of the first century, the Augustinian period, the family breakdown led to divorce becoming a normal affair. One sage at that time was quoted as saying, "They divorce in order to remarry, they marry in order to divorce." Now, Dave, when we look at this from the past and we look at our own world today, many people draw parallels and say we have the same situations in our modern society. Are there common threads?
No doubt, Darius. As the Roman Empire's income went up, that meant less time needed to work to survive. That brought about more free time. And as the old saying goes, you know, idle hands are the devil's workshop. There's a tremendous scripture in Ezekiel 16 that talks about Sodom. And you say, well, what does Sodom and Rome have in common? Well, there are three things that are mentioned there that were the downfall of Sodom. And of course, Sodom is famous or infamous for sexual immorality and, right, and breakdown of family. It talks about pride. Did Rome have pride? Of course. How about fullness of bread? Plenty to eat. And then it says idleness. There are lots of idle time. So without godly character, these things tend to lead towards selfish expression. I want to get what I want, and that often leads to immorality. So what we saw in Rome, as people selfishly searched after pleasure, we saw in Sodom, we could even look at the book of Daniel and find the same thing in Babylon, mm-hmm, going on when Babylon fell. Do we see those same characteristics today in the Western world, especially America and Britain? Well, I think we see the same thing there. We've got pride. We think we tend to know it all. We don't need God.
The highest development of social culture.
That's right. We are the standard in many respects, the America feels. So you've got idleness, you got plenty of free time, plenty of leisure time, you got plenty to eat. So without godly character, that often falls into that area of selfish fulfillment, immorality, and that then tends to break down the family. You don't have that protection, that hedge around the family.
Well, what are some of the factors that have contributed to the new family in today's climate of moral decline that so many recognize?
It's probably a lot of things we could touch on. Maybe I'll try a few. First of all, we saw a major change in our American culture, and certainly in Britain as well, in the 60s, during what has been labeled now by historians as the sexual revolution.
Right.
Basically, that culture said, I don't want to be restricted by the mores of the past, the commandments of the past. We ought to be able to exercise free love, sexual expression with anyone at any time. That shouldn't be a problem. Well, obviously, music was a tremendous influence with that as well. But almost concurrent with that was the development of the birth control pill. And by that being mass marketed to the population, one of the side effects of immorality was now taken away. You didn't have to worry about becoming pregnant, so it was easier then to commit immorality. Almost at the same time was the ability, at least in America and Britain, no doubt, for women to work outside the home. and basically be self-supportive, that they didn't need to depend on that family structure any longer to be able to survive, to have their daily bread.
So the focus upon the family, from at least the woman's point of view, then was altered.
Absolutely. And again, without godly character, these things tend to lead toward immorality. Probably another factor we at least ought to include was the inability of the major institutions in society at that period of time to defend the family, to really show good, solid reasons why you can't let that family unit be broken down.
I know, Dave, when we look at the past, and we've talked here about Rome, and these changes, I think it's important that we understand, took place, and they were, once those changes were made, they really didn't change. I mean, the lax moral climate, the high divorce rate, and the alter in the family led to it led to abortion issue in that time, and a decrease in the population, which led to other problems. And all this took place over several hundred year period of time. Rome didn't fall in a day. The old saying, Rome wasn't built in a day. Well, it didn't fall in a day either.
An erosion process.
There was an erosion that took place over several hundred years, and yet we see things in the same place today, and I think an argument can be made that in our modern world, things operate at a much more accelerated rate in terms of their impact upon people and upon society.
The Romans didn't have the internet to continue to speed things along all that much more quickly.
The fall might have come much earlier than 476 AD had that been the case. But we're headed in the same direction, America and the West, with the same problems, and our decline is gradual. And one day we're going to wake up and it's going to be all over, I'm afraid, unless there is a change. But I want to focus on the solution, because it begins, I think, right in the middle of this period of the Roman Empire as well. And let's start looking at the solution, because it begins, the solution, right in the middle of the Roman Empire with the birth of Jesus Christ.
Interesting that you bring that up, Darius, because in the middle of, frankly, what in our generation, most people look back on Rome as a very decadent society. That's usually what's focused on. It wasn't always that way. But as Rome went that direction, in the middle of that is this oasis where Christ is born into what we would call a traditional family. Father who loved his wife and cherished her, wife who loved and cherished her husband and responded to him. Focused on family. The whole culture that Jesus was born into was one that upheld marriage. How many of us know, obviously, that the commandments themselves, the Ten Commandments, one of them is one to protect marriage. Don't commit adultery.
Right.
Now, the idea is build your marriage. That's the spiritual intent of that commandment. So we had a culture that did believe that, that believed in the sanctity of marriage, that had the protection and the hedge around that. So in the midst of this Roman society that was heading downhill, we have Jesus born as a sample or example in this nuclear family, this traditional family.
So in a corner of the Roman Empire, there were values still being upheld by a group of people, the Israelite nation and Judea at that time, and that's where we find the story beginning of Jesus Christ, which is all important to the story of the family.
You bet.
We'll come back and talk more about that. We're going to take a break, and we're going to offer you again, once again, this booklet, Marriage and the Family, The Missing Dimension. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Happy children and successful marriages don't just happen. They are not just dreams. They really exist for people who know how to build families from the practices you can discover in your free copy of Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension. Call 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension. In our age of spectacular discoveries in science, the miracle of life reveals astonishing truth you can read about regularly in the Good News magazine. As more mysteries of life are solved, put yourself in the positive big picture presented regularly in your free subscription to the Good News. Just call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for the Good News magazine.
And we're back to Beyond Today. We're talking today about the new family. You saw in that last commercial an advertisement for the Good News magazine, which is the flagship publication of our program, Beyond Today. When you request the booklet, the Marriage and Family booklet, you will also receive a subscription to the Good News magazine, which will take you through a number of topics dealing not only with society and the family and family relations, but also dealing with Bible prophecy, world news, and doctrine and Christian living. The Good News will also come along to you. It's going to be a very important addition to your understanding of all of the topics we cover here on Beyond Today. Now consider this story. A young girl comes to her fiancé saying she has a problem. She is pregnant and he is not the father. Now, up until this moment, he thought, and probably knew, that she was a virgin. In their world, this problem brought a shame that could not be lifted. To compound this tragedy, the woman says the father of her child is God. The man is shocked, disappointed, and angry. Under the law of his day, he could stone her or quietly divorce her. He is inclined to divorce her until he has a dream, and a messenger angel tells him to take Mary as your wife. The child is of the Holy Spirit, and you shall name him Jesus. This is a very familiar story. It's the nativity story told in the Gospel of Luke, and it tells us a great deal about the family structure into which Jesus Christ was born. The family values of the first century Israelite families were a stark contrast with the Roman values of their day. Their teaching was based on the teaching that is found in the Old Testament. Dave, when we consider that story and the history of the age of the Roman Empire at that time, and we want to really come to a solution to the understanding of marriage and the values upon which it is based, what are some of the basic values we find in the Bible that lay the groundwork for it?
You mentioned the story of Jesus' birth.
Right.
There's a number of things in there that lay out the foundation on which those things are built. First of all, we have the foundation of the Ten Commandments. As we mentioned earlier, one of those is the seventh commandment, the protection of marriage commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Adultery was considered sin. It wasn't just something wrong. It was an offense against God, not just against other people.
Sin might be a term for us to define sometime for our audience, because it's not heard a lot today.
That's right. Exactly right. And it's certainly adultery is not considered even wrong in many
right.
cases in our culture.
Right.
But obviously it is. Secondarily, as a result of that commandment, virginity was also highly prized. And it was a gift that you gave to your spouse once you were officially married. Now, Mary, in her situation, was betrothed to Joseph at this point, which is roughly equivalent to our engagement period. And as you said, he had the option at that point, finding out that she was pregnant, to either have her stoned for committing sexual immorality, or he could divorce her quietly. And that's what he chose to do. At least that's what he was planning to do until he heard, as you mentioned, the message that said that straightened the story out. But what's important then is that Jesus was born into this family that held the high value of marriage. There's no question that the family of the first century where Christ was born upheld marriage. It was the state to be in. In fact, that culture had a very important outlook toward marriage.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, in Hebrews 13, Paul writes about how marriage was a very important institution. It was to be honored, is the word he uses. And the marriage bed, in other words, sex within marriage, was to be undefiled or honored as well. So in that circumstance, the sexual expression was solely to be within marriage, and that's where it belonged.
So within the Bible, then, there's a very high view, a very cherished view of the subject of sex.
Absolutely. It is an expression of deepest love and commitment between husband and wife. It bonds them together. It's something they share with no one else. Therefore, it makes that relationship all the much more special.
And it's found within the committed relationship of marriage.
Exactly.
We need to define that.
Absolutely. There's this an old saying, there ain't no thing without the ring. And it was a crude way of saying that ring of marriage represents a total commitment to this person for the rest of our lives. And again, as we mentioned earlier, without that kind of commitment, you've got cohabitation arrangements that come and go like the wind blowing.
All right. What did Jesus Christ teach about the family? What was his subject matter?
There's a number of scriptures that tell the story about what Christ taught in regard to the family. First of all, he mentions in Matthew 19, recorded by the Apostle Matthew, that when he was asked about divorce, some people in his culture said, seems like you should be able to divorce whenever you want, over any issue. Others said, no, it has to be only if there's sexual immorality involved with the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, Christ said from the beginning, it was designed that a man leave his father and mother, join together with his wife, and the two of them become one flesh. That's what God designed. So Jesus taught that from the very beginning, marriage, one man to one woman, was the standard that everything else would be based on.
within a committed relationship.
Absolutely. And when he talks about children, he brought children in and showed the value of children. He was constantly honoring them and using them as excellent examples for adults to learn from. So he upheld that situation as well.
Very true. I hadn't thought about that particular point in regard to that. Do the teachings of the New Testament point us toward the traditional family or what we call today the new family? Which side do they fall on?
Well, there's no doubt, Darius, that the alternative lifestyle arrangements that our culture has popularized more recently again simply aren't found in the Bible. And there's several reasons, I'm sure, for that. The main one is that we have a spiritual connection that is most often left out of the circumstance, left out of the discussion about marriage. It's designed to be a spiritual institution. It's on the, as we say, it's like a picture, a type of the very God family itself. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5 that a husband is supposed to love his wife in the same way that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So a husband's role is one of self-sacrifice. What does our culture teach? Oh, marriage is something to for self-fulfillment.
Satisfy your own desires.
Absolutely.
Your own desires only as opposed to someone
exactly.
else's. Exactly.
Very selfish, very incoming. Mm-hmm. Christ gave himself for the church. Then on the other side, it says the wife should respond like the church responds to Christ. Kind, obedient, willing to respond, willing to follow, willing to support and help. So when you've got that dynamic set up as defined in the Bible, you can truly have a happy family because both are looking out for the good of the other.
They're giving to the other.
Absolutely.
So there's an outward concern.
And in a loving relationship like that, God actually designed that there be children produced in that loving environment. And again, when you have a same-sex arrangement marriage, quote-unquote marriage, it cannot produce that same kind of loving, close family that God designed.
Very quickly, what is the purpose of the family within Scripture?
No question that God designed the family to be a picture and type of His very family. God uses family terms constantly in the Bible. He calls Himself our Father. So there should be a father in the family that is a constant picture of God. So we've got this beautiful spiritual picture laid out of the future of the kingdom of God.
Most people don't understand that it is indeed a spiritual relationship.
Right.
The family indeed is a model of the kingdom of God and is something beyond our wildest imagination, but it's something that can be understood. We'll be right back for a final word. Stay with us.
Build stability, warmth, and love into all your relationships. Know the secrets of what to do in each season of your children's development and the quality and quantity of time it takes to have a marriage blessed for a lifetime. Call 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension.
Strong traditional families are the bedrock of society. Every study points to the traditional family as the best way for children to grow into responsible, contributing members of society. This is the ideal that God's Word teaches and what we should strive for today. Your life will be better for it. But what if your family is something other than the ideal? Take hope. You can put into practice many of the basic principles of God that can make small improvements for the better in your family. It starts with the will to make a change and take control of your life, and you can do it. The family will endure. God's design is that one day it will form the foundation of his eternal kingdom. Make the effort to build your family on true values and principles. Dave, it's been very good having you with us on this program today. When you're looking to understand your future, remember this program, Beyond Today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.